Thank you again, Pastor. And I echo the words of Brother Keith that everyone did enjoy the good food that was provided. Just a wonderful time. It's just a wonderful time for us to be here with you, a place of many great and wonderful memories. And we look at it from time to time, think of it, and we've been in prayer for your coming meeting, revival meeting. But reading this time from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And we'll begin with verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Just want to stop there for just a moment and look in chapter 3, verse 22, at the baptism of the Lord Jesus by John the Baptist. We're told at 22, the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased."
Man.
At the Trinity, all in one verse there. Then, chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, or Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. So this is after the Holy Ghost descended upon him. And you know the story, how that every time the devil threw a temptation of word to Jesus, he drew the answer back out of the Old Testament.
Yes.
And that's what you and I need to do, beloved.
Amen.
We need to have the Word of God there that Spirit can draw up just in time to face the temptation of the devil. And as we come to verse 14, notice this time as we read there, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. We are called to think. Temptations are not designed to destroy us, but to show us what we're made of. He knew the Word of God. He faced every temptation with the Word of God. And so that just tells us it's so important that we know the Word of God, have it there for the Spirit, bring it up on the screen, as it were, and give it to the devil. He was in power then, verse 14. Now we'll continue. And there went out a fame. He became a famous character, if you will, through all the region round about, and imperfect active indicative, and he was teaching, and their synagogues being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. It was like a scroll in those days, wasn't it? He was handed by the minister the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He kept unrolling, 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 till it came right down. There wasn't no chapters and verses in those days. He knew exactly what he wanted. And when he found it, he stopped and he read from it, the prophet Isaiah. And so he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister. And he sat down, And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, not last week, not tomorrow, but this very day here in where? His hometown, in the synagogue where he grew up. This scripture is fulfilled in your ears, and all bear him witness, that is, of the truth, and they were wondering at the gracious words which were proceeding out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? And I'm reading the KJV. I just remember those different verbs and participles there, descriptive as they are. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Let us again pray. Father God, we're grateful and thankful for your love, your care, your much kindness to us, for the privilege to know that your compassions were renewed to us this morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Thank for this congregation, this pastor, and thankful, Father, for their witness, and thankful, Father, for the wonderful memories of here. And also, Father, again, we speak to you about the meeting this week, that you would indeed bless the ministry of the men of God. And even in this hour, should there be someone that doesn't know Christ, draw that one unto you in your love. In Christ's name I pray, and amen. So he had become a very famous character, and he was teaching in the synagogues wherever he went. And on this special occasion, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. That lets us know very quickly that this was his hometown, and we know that in the study of the scriptures. But it's a place he not only had lived for a short time, but he was brought up there. Some fellow said one time, I wasn't brought up. I was yanked up by the hair of my head. I think that's what happened to me. He was brought up there, and then you remember the events in your life when in your early days in your family, how that your family were dedicated to the house of God. If not both parents, at least one of them was dedicated. And so he returned to a place where he had many memories. And just as appointed, he read from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And that pronoun is emphatic. Me and no other. Me. No one could do the work that Jesus did.
That's right.
Thank God for his Spirit. And we know that he lives within us as children of God. But no one could do what he did without the Spirit. He was anointed. He hath anointed me. And first of all, to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. The gospel, we know through the years, has been defined as good news. Good news. Was the law ever good news to the people?
No.
It wasn't. It wasn't. The law wasn't. The law condemned us, didn't it? I mean, there was no way we could look at the law and say, I've kept it here, kept it here. When Fremobile went down to Cincinnati, moved out, that's where I'd worked for some time. Went over to General Electric for a while. But there's an old gentleman there in Fremobile that gave me, he said, you might like this. I was working there when the Lord saved me there in the little town village of Milford, Ohio. He said, you might like this. I don't think the man was saved. Doesn't matter, I'm not making judge. He said, I thought you might like this. And it was a plaque of the Ten Commandments. I said, I would like that. So when I hired in at General Electric, I took that with me. Hung it up in my workstation. I'd get wheeled out nowadays if I was doing that. The way the devil has taken a hold in the hearts of people. But it's surprising how many God sent by to read those Ten Commandments. I said, I kept this one, I haven't kept this one. I kept this one, this one, this one. No, I haven't kept this one. None of them could be kept, but I can still see one right now that came by and read, and he just walked away. He's wilted. And over against the wall he went. So I left my welding and went over to him. He said, I want to be saved.
Amen.
I want to be saved. The gospel arrests us and condemns us, and we have no hope in it. It's like when you run, where was the gospel, the law given? What mountain?
Sinai.
Go up there, hope to find any hope, and you don't find any. You're driven away. And so with me, it seemed like a long way before I left there and got over to Mount Calvary. But I made it to Mount Calvary, and there I saw Jesus Christ hanging on the cross for me. He died for me. Don't know about you then, 23 years old. I don't know about you, but I knew he was dying for me. That he did. And he saved my soul, undeserving, as our brother said this morning. So Jesus Christ preached the gospel wherever he went. And that's what we are to do today. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Just declare it then, okay? Declare to sinners their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Declare to sinners their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1971, when we began the work there in Xenia, Ohio, meeting in a school, elementary school, 4 years to the Sunday we were there, poor Lord put us into a building, but our Kathy was only about 10, 11 years old. She went into her classroom, she began telling about this place where there's a church, meeting in Cox School, and it was surprising how many families came as a result of just Kathy talking with her classmates that came to that church, and some were saved. Probably 20 years ago, I had a card from one of them. And she still communicates with Kathy. Several others do. And all nearing toward 60 now. But and said, just recently, a pastor said, is there anyone who's just marked your life that you need to tell them about it? So she sent me a card. So I immediately thought of you. But said, I know times you thought she was a teenager then. Thought you I wasn't listening, but I never tried to judge who was or who was not. But the Lord is writing what he wants to write on whom he wills to write it. On the conscience. And one evening her mother called and said, Kelly wants to be saved. And said, I'm so backslidden I don't have to tell her. Can we come over? Yeah. Lord saved her. And many others were saved. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is good news. Condemned, the law arrests you, bring you in, condemned, and God in his grace has Jesus Christ there with his arms outstretched. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden.
Amen.
So he's anointed me to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. I don't know how many I was privileged to witness to that were saved before the Lord ever put me in the ministry. When we got a new pastor, his area was new to him, and I knew where to take him to for sinners. I knew, I worked with them, I knew where they lived, and we preached the gospel to them, and they were saved. But secondly, in 18, he sent me. He sent me to do what? To heal the brokenhearted. You know, all around us today, there are brokenhearted people. Sometimes you can read it on their faces. And some are close to you. And certainly, we would like, as always, to uphold these And we cannot heal as Jesus healed, but you know, we can be sources of love and tenderness and kindness to these people who are brokenhearted. You know, we can turn over to chapter 7 and pick up what Jesus did in his ministry. He was sent to heal brokenhearted. Verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. The word Nain means pleasantness. It's almost like a city of pleasantness where you can hear the children playing in the streets, just enjoying life, having a big time. Sometimes there in the town of Windsor near the church, I'll step outside, there'll be children, and I'll tell them, I'm so glad to see you enjoying life today. Usually riding their bicycles, two or three of them. Yeah. Enjoying life. It was a city of pleasantness. So Jesus is traveling with his disciples. Verse 12, and when he came nigh to the gate of the city, look, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. So death had visited her home before. She knew what it was. And everyone here somehow has felt the pain and the sorrow of death in the family. It comes. One generation passes away and another generation comes. It's like something we wish could never happen, but it does. I remember not too long after Save Me, I began thinking about death, and I thought to myself, you know, there were seven of us then, and I didn't know how selfish I was, but I said, Lord, I want to be the first to go. Lord, I want to be the first to go. Because I'd seen around me of some people that had death in the family and saw their sorrow. And, well, we know that it's not that way. Only two of us left out of the seven. So I wasn't the first. My sister Martha this morning, one of ten left. It happens. But so this woman, a widow, she had one son left. He's dead now. And so the funeral procession is on the way to bury him. A lot of people was with her. She was no doubt a well-known woman in the community. I like verse 13, don't you? And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion. When I read that, I think of the Good Samaritan. You know, the Good Samaritan name comes in the news quite often. But it was said of him, that man that had been beaten and robbed and left half dead, when the Samaritan saw him, he saw him and he had compassion on him. He cared for him. And you know the story, how he did everything available in his power and even beyond when he left him at the end to be cared for. Compassion, feeling for others. He felt greatly for this dear widow when he saw her. You sometimes, you know, we know the Lord Jesus knew all things. He knows our thoughts. I think of that often. He knows my thoughts, your thoughts. And if he thought of someday my Father in heaven will lose his only son because he was given to be our Redeemer. But he had compassion. And he said unto her, weep not. Weep not. That's something that we can't do, and it's something that's good and righteous, is to weep. To weep. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. To shed tears. Weep not. He was getting ready to do something that not even his disciples would have thought of, and certainly this dear widow would not have thought of. But he came, 14, and touched the bier. And they that bearing him stood still. And he spoke, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now he doesn't do that way today. He did those things to authenticate that he was indeed sent and he was the Son of God. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. God heals a lot. And if there's any healing done, it is him.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Psalm 103. What are his benefits? He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases. Doesn't mean that all diseases are healed, but if any disease is healed, he does it. Sure, he uses a means. That's why he's given us doctors and etc. And we're thankful for the medical field. But he does it.
That's right.
He does it. Not only that, he says he's crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and he fills your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's our Lord. But he heals. So we don't heal anyone, but we can be sources of comfort to those who are in sorrow. You know, my mother was the first to die, and a brother about 4 months later on New Year's Day, 67. I remember when we got back to our little church there in Milford, Ohio, you know, the people came by and were extending their words of sympathy to us and the loss of my mother. And you know what I remember the most, and I appreciate all. One brother who he just died last year, I think, in Florida, but he was a good man, good deacon, good righteous man. But he came up to me and looked me in the eye and took my hand, laid his hand over it. He didn't say a word. But oh, what was communicated? Just a touch. We don't have to come up with a lot of words, even though we like to say something, and often we do. I've been praying for it, whatever. But you know, it's not even the words. It's the communication of the Spirit of God that flows out from the saints of God to those who are in sorrow. So, we are channels of God's compassion to others. In order to do that, we must have naturally love. We must have kindness. We must have tenderness. These things together will cause us to be used of the Lord to communicate compassion and healing for souls that are sorrowing. Yes, I sorrowed a lot when I was in repentance, for the Lord saved me. but that brought me to faith. You cannot divorce repentance and faith.
Right.
And ever I see those hands extended, come unto me. Come unto me. Maybe someone today hasn't come to it.
Do it.
Turn to Him. Thank you again for a wonderful day with you again, Brother Pastor.
Frank, did you bring us a song? Stand.